stood by you.
Don't you just know it?
Yeah, baby, don't believe I wear two left shoes.
Don't you just know it?
Welcome to WWM.
Thanks for having us, Eleanor.
The traditional band tends to have about 15 musicians, but there are only four of you. Why did you choose this format?
It's easier.
We make more money that way.
Exactly. Easier to get in the clown car.
What are the pros and cons behind having just four musicians?
Well, it's easier to schedule a rehearsal, even though that's still impossible.
What's a rehearsal?
But, this makes, I think, we're more cohesive that way because we can hear each other and really, you know, listen and stuff. But there's parts that we can't cover and we just have to work around that.
Yeah, when you're looking at orchestral arrangements or even arrangements for six-piece, eight-piece, sometimes stuff just has to either be thrown out or else we have to really cut back on it. We also each pretty much do double duty for vocals, so it's just the way it is. We have to play our instrument and sing at the same time, and we've gotten kind of good at it.
It's hard to do on saxophone.
It is. I know. Well, you do the dancing.
That's true.
Because I saw on your website that there's also screaming involved with you guys.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. A lot of screaming.
That's my job.
Yeah, it's his job.
How do you get such great volume out of four musicians?
You know, a lot of it is that we do a lot of the stuff we play is like 40s, and I think they used to call it call and response. So one guy will say one thing, and you know the other guys will holler back at him depending upon, like, Louis Jordan stuff or Louis Prima stuff. We love that kind of stuff. So we got a big sound, and that's what a lot of people say. You know, for four pieces, you got a big sound.
Yep. We also do a lot of egging on. So if some guy's doing well, woo, and if some guy's doing bad, and that kind of thing keeps us going, keeps us energized.
We still have a lot of energy, too, for the youngsters that we are.
When did you guys start?
1999.
Wow.
It's our 15th
year. Wow, you guys are old.
I met Steve when I was 8, and we started right away.
Yep.
So, you know, we're still going.
Are you guys all from the Milwaukee area, or where are you from?
I live up near Fond du Lac now. But, yeah, we're basically all from the Milwaukee area.
Now, I saw that Steve actually played around in Minneapolis for a while. Did you have any collaboration or jam sessions with Brian Setzer?
Michael actually played.
Well, I met him a couple times. Yep. When he came to town, I kind of got in his face. I knew where he was staying, and I met him, I think, twice, and we just talked. You know, he's just a nice guy. He's just a real sweet guy, you know. So,
you were talking a little bit about your styles of swing, about a 1940s era. So how would you define, really, your style of swing? Are you more rockabilly? Are you older, 1930s, Benny Goodman? Where are you guys on the scale here?
A lot of swing people would say we're not swing.
Right.
Okay. We don't do the traditional ching, 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 you know, that kind of sort of mellow or Benny Goodman big band swing. We're more of what we call jump swing. Around the time of the war, of course, it got to be really hard to get 30 musicians together, and clubs didn't have the money also to pay for it. So a lot of what was called jump swing groups came up where they were 5, 6, 7 pieces, which for back then was smaller, just because it was easier to get gigs that way and to find enough musicians. And I think we sort of model ourselves more after that. But then we also do a lot of stuff from the 50s with the rockabilly kind of thing, which tended to be smaller groups. So,
and then the coasters or the platters, because we have the vocals, we can do some really fun harmony stuff too. And I think we always look forward to playing live gigs because we always look forward to each other messing up on stage. And then we just have fun with it. And people like the fact that we're having a ball, mm-hmm. you know.
So it's pretty improvisatory.
Yeah, sometimes a little too much or not planned improvisation. Let's put it that way.
Are you trained musicians then as well?
Those three are.
Okay.
Trained monkeys.
I actually have a music degree, which doesn't really affect me in this band at all.
Ouch.
Thankfully, actually, I mean, that's okay with me. It's the bands I've tended to play in have been more towards the pop or rock or American roots style than the classical, even jazz styles, which is fine because it leaves me more open to do things and experiment and mess around.
What bands inspired you? Because you mentioned Louis Prima. What other bands inspire you with your music?
Well, let me tell you.
Ooh.
I knew we'd get that question. We'd walk in here and blank, so I wrote them down. So Louis Jordan is what we call the godfather or the father of rock and roll. He started out with a small combo where originally he had a big band, and as he got into the 50s, he shrunk it down. But Louis Jordan is really the father of rock and roll. So we do a lot of his stuff, love it. Louis Prima, you might know him for Oh Marie and Jump Jive and Whale. We do some of his stuff. But then we just bounce off into rock and roll like Eddie Cochran, Gene Vincent, some doo-wop with the Coasters, Huey Piano Smith and the Clowns, stuff like that, a little Ray Charles. We go all over the map. It's really just go listen to the old 45s, find one you really like that we think we can handle. We learn it. If everybody likes it, we'll learn it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times our tunes are so obscure, people think, is that an original? It's like, no, actually, that isn't. And then some of our originals, people think somebody else must have wrote them because they can't believe that we would come up with them.
Throw that trash out. No, that's one of ours. Still throw it out.
When I go to swing dances, I find that most of the crowd is about 30 or younger. Why do you think swing dancing is so popular or cool with millennials?
Because they can still move their joints.
Oh, no, yeah, we just had an old couple. The man passed away, and him and his wife had been coming to our gigs forever, and they had all the moves. I think, you know, we get a lot of people our age at gigs who are a couple years older than 30, you know, and it's just, I think they like the energy and they like the exercise.
Yes,
you know?
It's much more, the exercise is a lot higher. They right. have to also learn the moves. It's not so freestyle, and yet then they incorporate them together. It's just...
Right. I think the partner thing, it's one of the few styles of dancing still where you're doing it with a partner as opposed to just sort of, you know, going out on the dance floor and getting your freak on type of thing.
Definitely.
Do they still use that term, the kids these days?
Oh, yes. Groovy, yes. Dennis, groovy.
Far out.
Yes. And also, I mean, you see them do some of these moves, and as we said, you know, flipping people over their heads and between their legs and stuff. It's incredible to watch it, and just so much more challenging for a certain group of people to be able to pull that off and pull it off well. I always say when somebody says, can I do that kind of dancing? I say, come down, and you get a great dancer as your partner, and they're happy to switch off between people. They'll make you look good. A good dancer makes their partner look good.
Plus, they inspire us a lot. I mean, it really adds energy to see all these people out there dancing and having a great time. And not just sort of the – we've played some that are more formal concert settings. And for us, it's sort of like, okay, you can stop looking at us now.
Yeah. How many more charts do I have?
All right.
So in your opinion, what is the difference between pre-World War II swing to post-World War II swing? And why do you seem to prefer the post-World War II swing music?
It's really the numbers. The size, and as you got into post-World War II, the difference between white music and black music started to merge, mm-hmm. and you started getting what became rock and roll. And that's also when you started to minimize the number of people in the band.
Yeah, and then I think, you know, with the introduction of the electric guitar around World War II, obviously that amped up, I think, the energy level a little bit, as we said. Steve's quite an energetic drummer, and he really drives us. You know, he's got that punk background. So.
That's right. Yeah.
I think that's also part of it is we're trying to capture that energy that was around in the late 40s, early 50s.
You just recently released your second album, Pull That String. What can we expect to hear from that CD?
Going into any song on there. Wait, I don't have it in front of me. I can't say that. We also keep moving forward and just we'll write original songs, but we'll also learn cover tunes, and we'll just keep throwing new ones in there all the time. So what's a common one? Sweet Dreams Are Made of This, the Eurythmics tune. We did a jump swing version of that.
Really?
Yes.
Very cool.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Disagree, travel the world, the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. Sweet dreams are made of these. And who am I to disagree? Travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. Cause some of them want to use you. Some of them wanna get used by you.
How did- that happen?
Johnny brings in some kooky stuff, and he goes, we should try this because it'll work. And we all go, really? And then we run through it, and we go, yeah, this is great. This is going to work this way.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's a lot of just listening to what's out there and going, you know, mashups are a lot more in style these days where people take an old song and just completely wipe it and start over. And you can recognize it. So you see people out there like, why do I know this song? I'm so happy. Why am I singing along? I don't know. And it's because we've changed it so much, but yet they still remember the lyrics and the general layout. Very enjoyable for them.
And oftentimes we change songs, as we said, because we have to. You know, they have a big horn section, and there's just me. Or, you know, well, we don't have those three extra guitars, so we just work it out so it works for four piece.
So you don't collaborate with any other swing groups in town?
We'll play with them, sure, mm-hmm. but it's very rare that we'll, you know, bring band members up on stage to join us.
We have in the past.
Yeah. And we, I mean, even on that CD, we have Tyler Trey Band and John Simons came in and did a little horn section on a song called No, 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 No. And it was great because we added like a little Dixieland thing on that song. Just having them in there, it was great.
What's coming up next? Working towards another CD or?
We're always working towards another
yeah.
CD.
Yeah.
The nice thing is,
material, it just takes time. You know, getting us all together. John, right. I think John is the youngest cat in the band, and he's got three kids under
70.
And so, you know, his hands are full most of the time, and he's the recording whiz.
We do record all of our live shows, and I'll send the guys copies and say, hey, take a listen to this, see if this is anything good. Maybe we should release some of this live. That hasn't happened yet, but we like listening to it, and it's a great way to find out when you're making mistakes. Right, Mike?
Because John and Steve and Dennis are, like, constantly making mistakes.
And then we've also found, too, that we like to play songs out live first, because even when you write a song, if you take it in a studio right away, it doesn't really grow. And even the songs we've recorded have changed over the years as you play them live, and they start to pick up a different energy. And so it's nice to experiment with them live and go, okay, that worked or that didn't work, you know. And then when you go in to record, you have a little more idea of what you want.
What advice would you give to aspiring swing band musicians, and who would you recommend that they listen to?
Oh, wow. You know, you just have to go dig up stuff. The easiest way is on YouTube. Kind of start looking at stuff, then see what it references on the side. We have found so many great tunes just mm-hmm. by hunting for one artist and looking for another. There's a lot of great compilations for Jump Swing that are out there. You just have to start searching.
Yeah, there's a lot of great obscure stuff that you've never heard. But it's... it's incredible, but it never got out to the general public, especially a lot of the black music, like Johnny
right.
was saying. It just, you know, never got played. And there was a lot of regional music in the old days where maybe it was only in Philadelphia or only in Detroit. Nowadays, you can find all that stuff on YouTube, which
right.
is great.
You know, how many people these days actually still listen to the Coasters and the Five Keys or the song She's the Most? I'm still trying to remember who that is. But all these old artists that we just never got to hear growing up because we didn't have that on the radio, and Lord knows you couldn't find it barely in the stores. So,
or you got turned on to it secondhand. Yeah. So when I was a kid, I listened to the Beatles, and I went, oh, they didn't write this. Who wrote it? And you go, oh, R. Penniman, which was Little Richard. And then Little Richard would go, you got to listen to
Chuck Berry.
Yeah, or, you know, and Little Richard turned me on to Caledonia.
Yep.
You know? So it's you go back, and then they send you back even further,
yep.
you know, and it's fun because, there's so much stuff you haven't heard. And when you do, you get excited because you go, hey, this is a new tune.
Can't believe that there's so much old stuff out there you've never heard before, and you can't believe that people aren't listening to it right now.
Right. And then there's even newer bands. I mean, you can go back to some of the punk stuff or the 80s. In fact, we're working on a tune of Blasters did. But then we found out that this is actually an old song from the early 60s by somebody that I still don't know who it is.
Little Willie John.
There you go. But, you know, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, just listening to everything and trying to incorporate it, I think, is a key, too, if you're coming up as a musician. Listen to everything you can.
Yep.
Take what you like and
throw the rest away.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's why you're the kings.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'll take that.
All right, King Comets, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And we'll
thank
look
you.
Forward to seeing you at one of your gigs.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Ellen.
Bye.
Bye.